In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All that we do during the Advent season has its culmination in the here and now, Christ's Mass, Christmas. This is the epitome of the day for a true Catholic. Nothing else for the rest of the day matters, because it is the Mass of Christ that we've come to celebrate, and the whole point of the so-called Christmas season. And that, of course, is a secular appellation. The reality of the Christmas season for the Church is different. It doesn't begin after the day after Halloween. It begins on Christmas at midnight Mass. And it is the 8 days that we celebrate during the octave of Christmas, where each day is supposed to be celebrated as though it were Christmas Day, and will continue on through Epiphany, up until the baptism of the Lord and the Feast of the Presentation. And so the mindset that we should have then is that the Church gives us these seasons for a reason, to direct our lives, to direct our thinking, to direct our actions, to direct everything. And most people go by the Chirotic calendar, the calendar of human time. They go by all of the things that are required of them in humanity. Think of how many times you think in terms of what the secular calendar says, the secular calendar does, with the months and the days and the years. In the mind of the Church, a Catholic sets that aside and considers first and foremost the seasons of the Church, because they're all about the Christ. They're all about directing us to the Christ. They're all about allowing us to involve ourselves in the mystery of the Christ and his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so this year, the effort should be made to be a little different than years past with regards to the liturgical seasons of the Church, since the new church year began. The liturgical year of 2023 began November 30th with the first Sunday of Advent. And so the shepherds give us a cue, which means the Gospel of Luke gives us the direction of what our lives are supposed to look like during this, the Christmas octave. We are to be like the shepherds docile to the message of the angels. The shepherds, not simply receiving the message and saying, oh, we'll worry about this later, we've got so many things to do, but ultimately put everything down and then go to Bethlehem to see what they had been told, to see the sign that they would see, the infant lying in a manger. And they see this, and then they make known the message. Everything they had witnessed, they speak to others about. And of course, Our Lady Mary Most Holy, being the epitome of a disciple of Christ, demonstrates to us what our lives are supposed to look like, in particular during this Christmas octave, the 8 days of Christmas, for the celebration of the High Feast, and then the rest of the season that again goes on until February. And that is to contemplate, reflect on all these things in our hearts, as Our Lady reflected on them in her heart. Remember, she didn't have to, in the sense that she is the Immaculate Conception. She's not touched by the stain of sin. She has nothing to worry about with regards to the reality of passions being out of control. It is not conceivable that Our Lady Mary Most Holy could sin. She could have, in the sense that she had free will, but not conceivable. So good was she, so directed towards God was she. And so the Church gives us these seasons to try to get us to not only be aware of the great mystery we're participating in, considering that at this Mass we're not only present to the suffering death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as one true sacrifice of Christ as represented, but we're also present to the Feast of Nativity, the actual Nativity itself. In fact, you will come forward and receive, should you be worthy, Jesus, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Blessed Sacrament, having an intimacy with our Lord that the shepherds could not have, that, as we consider an epiphany, the three wise men could not have, that Simeon and Anna could not have, and you have it. But how often do you really contemplate it? Because Our Lady Mary Most Holy, she indeed conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember, at that point, the Church requires you to kneel at that point in the Creed, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. the one time of the year the church requires in the new calendar to kneel, genuflect at that part of the creed, which is done every time the creed is recited in the old mass. But consider that she had an intimacy with Christ because he came from her flesh, and she carried him in her womb for those 9 months. And she had a profound intimacy with him, which is why she would contemplate all of these things in her heart. He was more important. He was more important than anything. And she would contemplate the mysteries of his life and every moment of his life. Well, we should have the same disposition because we receive him, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Blessed Sacrament. He is indeed closer to our souls than our souls are to themselves when we receive communion. Why is it that we don't contemplate all that much the great mystery of the Eucharist, the great miracle of the altar, and what it actually means? The opportunity for us to know salvation should our wills be directed towards grace, towards repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and the cooperation of grace to allow us to avoid sin in the future. Our Lord gives us himself, body, blood, soul, divinity, as the great help. And he does not call us to do anything he himself would not do by virtue of what we see him being born in a manger in complete abject poverty compared to who he is as the second person of the Holy Trinity. The condescension is beyond our comprehension. These are the kinds of things that the Church wants us to consider, in particular for the 8 days of Christmas, the octave of Christmas. How often we will simply walk out of this place and not even consider the great mystery of our redemption, and even consider the reality of what this season is about and why we are here, to be present to the infant Savior, to put our faith in him, and to receive the great gift of himself in the Eucharist so that we are changed by it, so that it directs our lives, so that it is the source of everything that we do and the goal of everything that we do. This is what the Catholic life is supposed to be about, and when the faithful follow it, it engenders within them great courage and a great sense of mission for the salvation of souls, not only their own and the ones they love, but even a complete stranger. Because this is what the Christ did. And he did much more than you and I could ever do by virtue, in the first case, of his condescension, of his becoming one of us, so that we can know salvation, so that we can have hope in the face of hopelessness, so that we can see the light in a world that is dark. The great combat we have to embrace is the reality of fighting our own pride, our own self-love, making ourselves more important than God. That fight is difficult because we live in a culture that is hyper-sentimental and makes everything about sentiment. You move with the culture, then most are happy this day will be over and the decorations ripped down because they've been up since the day after Halloween. And there's no contemplation of the fact that Christmas goes beyond, well beyond, the season that the people of the world, under the auspices of the enemy, make it, because they make it hyper-sentimental. And sentiment runs out. And if we live our faith in that same way, where it's all about the warm fuzzies and those things we want to experience, then our faith indeed is not faith, and it runs out. And so for us, the reality of the Christmas season and the Feast of Nativity itself is about celebrating the fact that God has indeed sent us a Savior. God has become man. And in this great mission, we find hope. And of course, we have faith and charity as well. And we contemplate the great mystery of what this means, the condescension, and the fact that the Christ made himself completely helpless as an infant. We are also filled with pride. Everything needs to be our way, the way we want it to be. And if it's not, we become irritated or impatient, and some even become angry, behaving in a way that is unbecoming of a follower of Christ, unbecoming of the infant in the manger. Since this is the beginning, ultimately, of the life of salvation for us, then we should imitate what the Church puts before us with regards to Christ himself. The whole liturgical year is based on Christ and who he is and what he was doing and what we should be considering. And so during the Christmas season, we should be considering the infant Savior in the manger and endeavor to imitate him Imitate him in his humility. Imitate him in his docility to the will of God the Father. Imitate him in his condescension for the greater good of our salvation, that we ourselves should lay our own pride and self-interest aside and be more interested in the salvation of souls, and then marry our worldly responsibilities and duties to the salvation of souls. Especially in a world as dark as ours is, where the darkness continues to increase and the evil spreads day by day. If we have a sentimental faith, then we'll get lost in the darkness, filled with fear. But if we have a faith based on what we see in the miracle of the Nativity, that God has become man, then we recognize that even though the angels indicate that there will be peace on earth to men of goodwill, which means that the peace that Christ has brought to the earth in his infancy is only meant for men of goodwill, not for men of evil heart. And they will work against the Christ, as we'll contemplate on the Feast of the Holy Innocents this week, when Herod seeks the destruction of Christ the King as he is a child. And that in of itself teaches us that darkness will always follow the reality of the light in this great combat against Satan and against the powers of iniquity. And that there is peace on earth to men of goodwill, and they can hold on to that peace when the battle ensues. But ultimately they must recognize that that peace is not a sentimental peace, but a true interior peace where there's stability and hope in the soul, even in the midst of the darkness, as we see at the Feast of the Holy Innocents, that the enemy moves fast against the Christ, moves fast against the truth, moves fast against the light, but the light cannot be stamped out. It cannot be deflected. It cannot be darkened. And so if we hold on and contemplate these deeper things, especially during the octave of Christmas, where we are ideally treating every single day as it is Christmas Day, then we should go out of our way to be mindful of the Nativity, mindful of the infant Savior, and do as the Church calls us to do with the prayers the Church gives us, saying prayers to the infant Savior during this great week of holiness with regards to the Nativity, and contemplating how we can be like him in humility, docility, obedience, and of course, the whole dynamic of our wills being configured to that of God the Father. There's much more to it than hypersentimentality, as too many will treat it. There's much more to it than just having one day of Christmas and then we go on about our lives as though nothing has happened. It is supposed to inform, configure, and orient us profoundly to the mission that we all have for the salvation of souls. Make it a point then for this particular year to be different. As the darkness of the evil one begins to rise even more, it is imperative that we stay true to Christ, that we stay true to he who is truth personified, and ultimately have the mission of courage that can be seen in the infant in the Nativity, because he was born to die on the cross. Unless we get stuck in thinking that it's only about the beauty of the infant king in his manger, we cannot forget the manger indeed points to the reality of the wood of the cross. And all of us are called, as Jesus said, to pick up our crosses daily and follow him, and in particular in our vocations. What informs our vocations is Christ. What gives us the power to live them out is grace. Let us configure ourselves to Christ by beginning this Christmas week to go out of our ways to contemplate the beauty of our redemption coming through the condescension of God the Son, who makes himself a helpless infant in the manger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.